Care to turn your Bibles, turn with me and read. Let's look at a few verses in Exodus chapter 6. Did I say Exodus 6? I meant to say Exodus 21. Sorry. Exodus chapter 21, and we'll read the first six verses of Exodus chapter 21. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. The Lord will bless the reading of his word. Please excuse the clearing of my throat. I'm at the tail end, I trust, of a cold, so I apologize for that. There's a lovely hymn. I'm just going to read the stanzas written by Hanley Mule. I know he had this in mind, this portion in mind when he wrote this hymn, obviously. My glorious victor, Prince Divine, clasp these surrendered hands in thine. At a length, my will, all thy own, glad servant of a Savior's throne. My master, let us cross the floor, pierce mine ear at the sacred door. Thy bonds are freedom, let me stay, with thee to toil, endure, obey. Yes, ear and hands and thought and will, use all in thy dear slavery still. Self's weary liberties I cast beneath thy feet, there keep them fast. Tread them down still, and then I know these hands shall with thy gifts o'erflow, and pierced ears shall hear 'tis done, which tells me thou and I are one. And I think in this little portion, there's some very practical teaching here as to the purpose, the grand purpose of why we are saved. We won't take the time, but maybe you might consider meditating on this portion and consider the Lord Jesus Christ and the way this is worded. He didn't go back. He could have went back by himself, but he did not. I will not come down. Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. He didn't come down. He wasn't going to come down. If he came down, he'd go back by himself, but he wanted a bride. That's just a little meditation. We have, I would just suggest here, the grand purpose of our salvation. To do likewise, to have the same attitude as this man, servant. Make a deliberate choice and allow God to bring us to the judges of the Trinity in a solitary place. A decision is made, intelligent decision is made. The earlier the better in my Christian life. The same choice. Bring to the doorpost, to the door, looking back, plainly say, I love my master. I love my master. I will not go out free, nor by myself. This is a once-for-all decision. that God would have us make. It's not a flip-flop thing. It's being real with God. God likes us to be real with Him, real. He knows our hearts. And He wants this to be a very real experience in our life. And this is really the crux of the teaching of the cross. You want to be my disciple? There's only one way. You cannot be my disciple. You're very emphatic. You can't be my disciple if you will not put self on the cross and deny yourself. Not I. That's what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Yet not I, that old Paul, not I, but Christ liveth in me. Cross is death to self, to me. That's the symbol of baptism when I was saved. Picture of when I was saved. The old person's dead under the water, gone, buried. Now I'm united with a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the old man's dead. I don't want to please me anymore. My own experience, I spent 30 years of my life wasting my life pleasing me. Yes, I got to the point where I got very disgusted with the face I saw in the mirror. And that's a good place to get to in life. Now, this would hurt, having your ear bored through with and all. It would hurt, yes. I think it was Bob Dylan who wrote that behind every beautiful thing, there's been some kind of pain. And he spoke the truth. Do I want to be beautiful for my Savior, beautiful for Christ? Well, then I must not shun the pain. Called to be saved, and also into the fellowship of His sufferings. Do I want the power of the resurrection in my life? Well, there's something that accompanies that. Paul opens his heart in Philippians chapter 4, and he calls it the fellowship of His sufferings. He understood. Can't have one without the other. It's not a great price to pay. It's a very small price to pay. And the pain is endurable. Yes, we can endure the pain because it's given to us by a loving Father. And will dark days come? Yes, dark days will come. They will. Trials, tribulations, sometimes God will seem very far away. I tell people as I preach the gospel, you know, sometimes I don't feel saved. I don't feel close to God. It's not about feeling. It's the word of God. We trust. We press on. Even though I don't feel, it's not feeling. The word bore, pierced through with a sharp instrument. Free. The word free is mentioned here. Very interesting. The words are very striking. Free for nothing. Free is to be in a separate, independent place. Disconnected with other people or things. Disconnected. I'm free. Do what I want to do. Self. Pleasing self. For nothing. That's what it says. You can go out free. Yes, you can. But for nothing. That's what your life will be, actually. This is for Christians. Be nothing. Wood, hay, and stubble. Motive of my life was what? Well, to please me. To please me. I made some compromises along the way. I didn't want to do this. And that's sad. That is a waste. To what purpose is this waste? To what purpose? Without a cause is the word here for nothing. Devoid of cost. Cost nothing. It costs nothing to please me. Nothing. But it does cost. Yes, it costs. And we gladly would pay the cost, would we not? I speak to my heart first. Speak to our hearts this afternoon. To take our Christian life a lot more seriously than we are apt to take our Christian life. We only get one shot at it. One time around, can't come back. This is it. Can't get yesterday back, but I've got today. And the tragedy is, we must understand that if I choose to go out free, I will go out free for nothing, and actually God will let me do that. He will not force one to serve Him involuntarily. He will not do that. We must be mindful of that. Now, in this portion, obviously, This is a Hebrew servant. He had failed in something. He had failed. He became available. Often a man was in this accessible position because of some failure on his part. Sin, a debt he owed he couldn't pay. And the Mosaic Law made provisions for this sort of situation. And so he ends up serving a master. He pays a price for him. He's mine now. 6 years, you're mine. You work for me. Now, in like manner, that's why we came to Christ as our master. We sinned against God, a huge sin debt. None of us are able to pay. We're in a very accessible position, dangerous position. And thanks be to God, He made a provision to purchase us and have our sin debt paid in full and to become His servants. We read in 1 Corinthians 6, you're bought with a price. You're bought with a price. And what a great price was paid. His life's blood. Think of David in the cave of Adullam in 1 Samuel 22. Adullam means justice of the people. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, or had creditors, and everyone that was discontent, gathered themselves onto him, and he became a captain over them. And we look back at our experience, those of us in this room who know Christ, we can relate to this in some way. We fit into here. I came to the end of myself, and I realized I need a captain in my life. I need a shepherd in my life. And we bowed the knee, surrendered, and embraced him. And then we come into a new family. What a family this is, the family of God. No family like this family. I know you'll say amen to that. This man's now in a family. Now, he obviously has, in this situation, he has a good master if he comes to this conclusion. I don't want to go out. I'm going to stay. I love this family. I love you. I love serving you. Yes. Now, he's received into the new master's family. We too have been received into God's family. He desires us to be more intimate with him, closer to him daily. That's what 2 Corinthians 6 is about. He's, you come up from among them, be ye separate of your father. I think, well, you are my father. But a father may have intimates, maybe children that love daddy a whole lot more than the other children do, and daddy knows it, and like to be with daddy more. Well, there are intimates with God. Those that love the solitary place a lot more than others. And they spend a longer time there, alone, shut up, the door closed, with him, the family. Come out, he says, and I'll receive you. You'll be my sons and my daughters. And, of course, we behave ourselves in the dwelling of God, the house of God, in the family. We're received for the same purpose. This man was received to serve. Verse 2 tells us, he shall serve. That's the whole point of this. He's going to serve this man. And 1 Thessalonians 1:10 sums it up. He says, he turned from idols to serve the living and the true God for the same purpose. Now, in the beginning, there is a fleshly fervor. I remember when I first was saved, I'm not going to sin anymore, and I'm going to live my life for God 24 hours a day, and on we go. And we don't understand in the beginning. God's very gentle with us as babes in Christ. We don't understand. Gradually, he reveals to us. It says 6 years he shall serve. Well, that's man's number six. It's symbolical, of course, of incompleteness and imperfection. It's one short of that perfect number seven. This is man's number. Number six. Zealous. The flesh is involved here. It's appealing. I want to do this. I'm enthused. I used to chase my wife into the bathroom. She closed the door and turned the taps on because she couldn't hear me read her from the Bible. I'd keep on doing that. Not a speck of wisdom. Lots of zeal. But I had some things I had to learn along the way. And God is very gracious. And slowly we understand there's something in me here that's not good. I can still sin. I can still sin. Actually, I just did. Yes. Solomon had 6 steps, but it was not enough to elevate him from succumbing to idolatry. In John chapter 2, the Jews of Cana had 6 water pots for purification, but then again, it's an example of the insufficiency of the ordinances to meet man's needs. And number 6, not going to do. And in those first few years, God, very gently, we begin to learn something. Paul tells us very emphatically in Romans chapter 7, sin dwelleth in me. And there's the flesh, and there's a spirit, and they don't mingle together. It's one or the other. Even in preaching the gospel, it's not fleshly enthusiasm, fleshly zeal. That will not do. It's this power of God, the Spirit, not I, but Christ. I decrease, He increases, and we learn that as we go along. There's an enemy within. Brothers mentioned that. We have the 3. Greater is He that is in us and He that is in the world. Greater is He that is in us and He that is in us. Galatians 6 brings that out clearly. So we discover this. You know, God would have us, when we discover this, to have a desire, a strong desire, to be determined to strive towards spiritual completeness and maturity. He wants us to grow. He wants us to desire to grow. It's sad when a Christian becomes complacent. And this is good enough for me. This is fine for me where I am right now. That's a sad place to be. We should always long to be better, to be better, to be more mature, more of the dross, to be removed from my life, less of me, more of Christ, the apple of the eye, seeing the reflection in the eye. God says, I want to see more clearly my reflection in your eye. I want you to be the apple of my eye more fully as your Christian life goes on. So freedom. This man could go out free. 6 years are done. You can go out free now if you wish, if you please to do that. And he realizes that. He could walk away from his master and go out free and do as he pleased. And we also discover the same thing as believers in Christ. We discover that. I can do it. And I'll grieve the Holy Spirit, and we learn some sad things. But what's brought out here, it says he should go out free for nothing. There's no purpose to it. By himself. By himself. Nothing will be of any eternal value in my life. Wood, hay, and stubble. Will be the result of choosing freedom to please myself instead of seeking to please my Savior in all my ways and all my works. Romans 15:3 says, for even Christ pleased not himself. He didn't please himself, and never pleased himself. Remember the Rolling Stones came up with a song in the 60s, I'm free to do what I want any old time. Actually, no, he's not free. Nobody in the world is free. We are slaves to sin, slaves of Satan. And some of these singers, in their mockery, and some kind of selling their soul and deal with the devil and so on, they mock the young people. And my son Dennis was telling me about Billy Corrigan. He's a man who made this deal with the devil, and there have spiritual truths revealed to them by Satan. And it was my son's favorite band at the time, the Smashing Pumpkins. He's in Toronto, or Montreal, before he's saved. And Billy Corrigan stands there in front of the microphone. He's quiet for a moment between songs. He says, you'll do anything I say. And they all cheer, you know, the 50,000 young people. He says, you're all a bunch of puppets. And they all cheer again. Yes, yes, love being your puppet. Then he said this, he quieted the place down. He says, but what you don't know is this. I'm not the one pulling the strings. Just mocking them. They know it. We know it. As our brothers are bringing before us, we have got to let them know it. You're not free. You're in bondage. You die in bondage. There'll be no heaven for you. Now, as a Christian, we are free to make that choice. But the result of that choice, the end, well, what will it be? Not a very good end. Solomon's end wasn't a very good end. And when when God talks to Solomon about his father, he makes a distinction. More than once when he's speaking to Solomon about your father, you know, your father David, he calls him my servant David, my servant David. In other words, Solomon, you were not my servant, but your father was. You're having a bad end. And he did have a bad end. Or to stop the will of God, even to have that man slain from taking the throne, fighting against the will of God, even as King Saul. Same with Job. You know, his so-called, those three that sat down, maybe their intentions were good. They didn't comfort him at all. They caused the man to, he began defending himself and so on. And then God steps in. It's all for our learning and admonition. God steps in. We learn marvelous things about God and creation, things we wouldn't know if this book wasn't in the Bible. But at the end, he rebukes those three men. He said, I want you to know something. And he lets them know this. Four times he says, he doesn't say Job. He says, my servant Job, my servant Job. Four times, just to let you men know. He's my servant. You're not my servant. He's my servant. We are to be servants. That's what God would have us to be. Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 5:16, and what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? That's it, nothing, nothing. My brother's already said, I saw a refrigerator had a card on it. It had a wallet open, $100 bill sticking out, American Express and all these things, keys to a Rolls Royce. And it said, he that hath everything but Christ has nothing. He that hath nothing but Christ has everything. And that is the truth. That's the truth. We have everything. We're complete in Christ. Nothing in this world can take the place of our blessed Savior. Priceless. We should value it and treasure it and guard it. Sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I find in freedom? A failure of the fulfillment of God's plan for my life. God has plans for us all. A path of life for us all. For me, for you. I forfeit that. I'll forfeit the spiritual inheritance God designed for me to possess right now, here and now. I forfeit that as well. And I will fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's what I will do. And I will become, as most Christians are, generally speaking, it does not have to be so with me or you, but another band from England called the Pink Floyd's have called their name. They had a song out, very famous band, a successful album, The Wall. One of their songs is called Comfortably Numb. Well, sad to say, in my observation, most Christians have become comfortably numb. Yes, they have. How many people? I'm not going to speak directly to you, but if I say, how many people have you spoken to in the last year about Christ? It'd be an embarrassing question. I wouldn't do that. I know there are Christians who have never opened their mouth once, never given out a gospel tract in their life. You know, I really don't understand that. Three things God cannot do. Now, who's not going to take that? Who is not going to take that? They'll take that. Yes. And they'll read it. We read last night in Colossians and about how our life is hid with Christ. Hidden. The world doesn't know. They see us. They see what we have. They long to have what we have. And we don't even tell them what we have. You can have what I have. How shall they hear without a preacher? Not even the platform, but on my feet, personally, to speak. Yes. I'm going to forfeit that. I'll become comfortably numb to those around me. I will. And I see that all around me today, and God, I understand. I really don't. Christians just content to go to meeting. Nothing wrong with their life. Nothing. Everything's good. No bad, no sin in their life. But oblivious of the fact that I am surrounded with people in slippery places, and they're dying one by one by one by one. How do I know if I'll ever see this cashier again in my life? It might be the last time I ever see this young girl. I'm standing there, I have the truth, and I'm silent. I say, have a nice day, and I walk away. That is generally Christianity today. It does not have to be so for us personally. That's what Paul said to Timothy. In spite of what you see, Timothy, but thou, you be an example of the believers, you yourself, and even assemblies. A lot of assemblies now don't even want the gospel preached in the assembly. I've been told not to. I've been actually told not to, first time there. I've asked the question, are there any visitors here that are not saved maybe this morning in your family Bible hour? And they look at me very suspiciously. Well, why are you asking that? Oh, I'm just wondering, I mean, are there any unbelievers present maybe? Well, there might be. Some teenagers maybe that made professions and the parents have a little bit of doubt there. There's no fruit in their life and so on. Well, you know, typically one elder said to me, this is a ministry meeting, typically, you know, I said, okay. Unbelievers are here. I'm an evangelist. You invite me to your assembly. What do you think you're going to get from me? Both barrels. Yes. I don't get invited back. That's okay. That's all right. I fulfilled my responsibility. But things have actually gone that far. The Lord's coming is very near. And of course, there's the possibility of the Father's chastening hand. Yes. Fear of the Lord is a good thing. Isaiah said it's our treasure. It's our treasure. Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. Unite my heart. Teach me. Teach me. And without love for and loyalty to my Savior and his interests, my life will be summed up in these words. By himself, for nothing. If I have not love, my love. Remember the first love? Remember our first love when I was first saved? Oh, did I not love him so? Didn't I love the Lord's table? Sometimes wept and loved to sing. I couldn't believe the words of those hymns. And tears rolled down my face. Don't we remember those days? Oh, joyful in Christ. I love my Savior. What can I do for my Savior? So what's happened as time has gone on? What's happened? We've lost it. We've lost it. We've gotten away from it. We've made bad choices. If I have not love, Paul said, I'm nothing. If I had not love, it profiteth me nothing. What have I got? I've got nothing. I'm free. I've lost it. We can look at Lot. Lot chose him. Isn't that sad? Lot chose. There's Abraham standing in front of him, this great man of God. There's young Lot. Lot should have said, Abraham, never mind me. You choose for me. You tell me where to go. That would have been a wise thing for Lot to do, but he didn't do it. Prosperity. No prophet, pitiful end, left it all behind, burned up in Sodom. Samson. First things we read about Samson, he went down to Timnath and he saw his eyes. Interesting, isn't it? But his eyes. He saw a woman. What did he say? Get her, she pleases me. Get her for me. I don't know what kind of father he had. He didn't seem to be a very forceful father. He just said, well, you know, there are children. There are lovely ladies here in Israel, you know. But at any rate, we can't judge the man. But he chose passion and he lost his power, a pointless life. He's going round and round and round. He went down, down, down. He opens up with he sees. Why want what I see? How did he end up? I mean, he didn't see anything. Going round and round for the Philistines. I mean, he was a fool. I had a great end. I don't mean to speak badly of Samson. I mean, he's actually in Hebrews 11. But there's a great lesson there. And Demas, of course, he just disappears off the pages of Scripture. We don't hear about him again. Imagine being with the Apostle Paul, with this great man of God. And Paul simply says, he's forsaken me. He's loved this present world and he's departed. He chose what pleasure, I don't know. And he just passes away from the pages of Scripture. Now, if I deny freedom, what if I come to this place right here? God speaks to my heart. I'm convicted. What will I find in freedom denied? It's interesting, New Hampshire license plates, they say live free or die. And they're made by prisoners in a prison. Rather ironic, isn't it? Live free or die. Well, for us, freedom is death, isn't it? Death to self. Death to self. Not me. Not I. It's not what am I going to do today. What am I going to do to please me? No. What pleases my Father? That's my life. That's to sum up our Christian life. Our Lord Jesus Christ did exactly that. Bond slave. Servant to men. Different word, servant to men. But not to God. He was a bond slave of God. He relinquished his will. And that is the place God seeks to bring us to. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. And it's a choice he's making now. I will not go out free. The word is a love. It's a strong word. A man delights, desires, vehement, ardent inclination of the mind, tenderness of affection. It's a strong word. I love my master. Well, is our Lord Jesus Christ not very lovable indeed? The longer we get to know him, the more we should love him. He says, now, well, if you love me, we'll keep my commandments. I don't tell the Lord I love him. I'm actually ashamed to say that. I'm ashamed to say I love you. He says, keep my commandments. He didn't ask me to say I love you. Nothing wrong with saying I love you. Some Christians do. I love you, Jesus. I'm thinking to myself, I feel rather condemned because he said, I want you to show your love to me. Just show your love. I'll know your love by how you live your life. I'll know your love. He only said once, and he didn't have to say it, but he said it anyway for his disciples. He said, I love my Father. They knew he loved his Father anyway. They knew that. That was a motivating factor in his life. I will not go out free. This decision with love as the motive. Notice that. This is the motive. It'll be manifested in my manner of living. A desire will be in my heart to obey him always. A consuming love. Now this is an intelligent, God-given comprehension and spiritual understanding of what Christ has done for me and what he expects of me in return. He expects this. It's your duty, he said. You've done all that I said. That's wonderful. It's your duty to do what I say. How about going beyond and go the extra mile for me? Then there's a well done, good and faithful servant. And the motive, love. Deep gratitude results in a life of consistent service with a view to pleasing him as consistence. I've made a decision. I've made a choice. God spoke to my heart. Maybe he'll speak to your heart. Maybe somebody here this afternoon. Really, they are serious look within. How have I been living? Who have I been living for? Me or for Christ? Am I his bond slave? I read about a gatekeeper, cold night, and the superintendent didn't always ask him this, but he said to him, I want you to double check the tickets as I get on the train. It was cold and windy and so on, a little bit of rain in the air. And one lady said, you're not a very popular man tonight. And this was his reply. Well, I only care, madam, to be popular with one man, and that's my superintendent. And that must be our attitude. I only want to please him. Will brethren be displeased, perhaps, sometimes? A little convicted. Well, yes, perhaps. That's all right. You don't like me? That's all right. You don't have to like me. You don't have to. But I love you. I love you in Christ. So, what will we find? Well, we have the fellowship of the Father and the Son. Am I going to forfeit that? For what? What will I forfeit? Nothing compares to that. Changing shifts over in England, the coal mine, and the Christians, they'd see each other, you know, and sometimes they challenge each other. Or if you gleaned this morning, brother, and one brother said, he said, it's a grand thing to be saved, yes. And the brother said, I know something better than that. He said, what's better than being saved? Having fellowship with the man who saved me. That's even better than being saved, isn't it? Yes, we forfeit that. Fullness of joy. I won't have fullness of joy. I'll have what the world has. That's all. Happiness. Happiness depends on what's happening in my life right now. That's all I'll have. Joy. God says, look, nobody can take that from you. No man can take it from you. It's deep down within you. The picture in National Geographic, 1976, in the coal mines in Virginia. Earl Medling, his name was, saying, kissing his wife goodbye. He's going down into the bowels of the earth there in his helmet on. It said, happiness is knowing Christ. And it says, well said, Earl Medling, for all who read National Geographic. And we have the honor of following the great shepherd in peace and safety, the enjoyment of the fullness of the Spirit, the manifestation of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. Yes, to enjoy it, to enjoy the reality within of love, joy, and peace, to really enjoy that. And outwardly, the goodness of God and the gentleness of God and long-suffering towards everyone. What can take the place of these things? And then towards God, to be faithful to God, to be meek towards God, not resist him. This thing is from me. I say, yes, I know it's from you, Lord. Therefore, I'll not complain or feel I have a little pity party. I'll pick up my hymn book and sing praise unto you. That's how our Savior reacted. That's being meek. I don't fight. I don't resist against anything in my life, good or bad, because God is in absolute control of my life. I'm going to forfeit that. For what? And my life will have purpose and meaning. I like that hymn, Old Time Religion. Makes me, it says, save my father, it's good enough for me. Save my mother, save me, good enough for me. The last stanza says this, it makes me love everybody. I love that. Yes. And serving Christ and being close to Christ and a bond slave of Christ makes me love everybody. And that's why we witness to people, isn't it? We love them. Can't help it. We can't help ourselves. We must tell them. Yes. And our eyes will be fixed on the finish line then. I'll view everything in a different light, in the light of eternity. Not in today's values, but I will see things differently now in the light of eternity. And it is finality. I mentioned that before. I love my master, sovereign, ruler, lord, controller, owner. I'm going to quickly go through this because time is gone. Just about gone, not gone. He's from the heart. The representatives here of God, they actually represented God. He brought them to the judges. Well, this decision that I make in my heart, it's very personal. It's very personal. Very private. It's in a solitary place, and I mean it. I really mean it. That's what this is about. Making an intelligent decision. Lord. Well, I might forget I prayed that after a while. God will not forget. And I'll think, I wonder why this is happening in my life. Why does he seem so far away? Why is this happening to me? Well, he's answering my prayer. You asked me, dear child, you asked me. I knew you meant it. You want to be my bond slave. You want to be a disciple. That's why this is happening in your life. It must happen. I must go through some dark times, through some trials, and through some tribulations. Will he let me fall once in a while? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. So I understand and I learn that when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. And I learn just how weak I really am. And I'll stop living as though I'm not going to fall. If I think that, we know what God says about that. 6 years he served this man involuntarily. But now, a number, I won't go on with it, the number six, but it's man's number. metamorphosis 4 times, the change takes place. The number 7 fits in there, you know, because it says in Matthew 17:2, after 6 days they go up into the mountain, as the number 7. And that's where the word is used, metamorphosis. And it's used again in Mark. And it's used in Romans chapter 12. Don't be conformed, but be renewed. Be renewed. A transformation takes place when I surrender to Christ. Metamorphosis. I'm no longer a butterfly or a caterpillar crawling along the ground. Every once in a while lifting up my head. I rise above all those things. 4th time is in 2 Corinthians 3:18. How does it happen? Well, it's my master. It's my God. I just let him do it. And it says, as I study Christ, as I learn of Christ, with the idea that I want to be more like Christ, that's what it says. I'll be changed. That's the 4th time it's used. It'll take place. The lovely word. And it speaks of completion. To be a servant. Mr. Froude, J.A. Froude, he wrote a book called Oceana. I think he was a believer. He went to New Zealand to visit Sir George Grey, the governor. He was talking to the gardener, and the gardener was showing him the beauties of the garden. And he obviously cared a lot for his master. And then he thought he'd get to know him a little bit. And he said, well, so what do you like to do in your spare time? You like fishing? He said, no, I don't like fishing that much. Horseback riding? No, I don't ride horses, no. Hunting? No, ask me a few more. He said, well, then what do you like? He said, I like being servant. This is George Grey. That's what I like. And that was it. Happy, contented man. And that's where we find contentment and rest is in serving our blessed Savior. And I just want to mention the mark. I mean, he's going to see it every day. Other people are going to see it too. They'll know. Yes. It's a permanent reminder to this man and to others. He belonged to somebody else. He was disentitled to the rights of freedom by his own choice. I disentitle myself to the rights of freedom. Do I defend myself? No, I don't defend myself. No, God's my defense. Turn the other cheek? Yes, I turn the other cheek. Become a doormat sometimes? Let people walk all over me sometimes? Yes, I do. I do. I don't have any rights. I'm a bond slave. I don't belong to myself. And also, his one and only will was to know and do the will of his master. And just so for your contemplation tonight, you might look at Psalm 40. Mine eyes hast thou opened, the same words, board, in Psalm 40, speaking of Christ. Mine eyes hast thou opened. And I will just read this. I'm going to sit down. Could be today for somebody. Today is the new beginning that's never been before. 'Twas fear that held me in my chain, fastened to the floor. Finally beholding my Lord's tender eyes, firmly with courage I said goodbye to years of constant yearning to take my cross and die for freedom evermore, to follow in his footsteps, to spread my wings and soar. May God bless his word to our hearts and convict us. Yes, convict us. Live for him.